You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Warden. Today is December 31st, 2019, the last day of the 2010s. And as we do every Tuesday in the offseason, we take your questions from our Sunday night Twitter question answer, answer them on Twitter, and bring the best ones to the show here on Tuesday. So that's what we're going to do here to wrap up Season 2 and the 2010s here at Locked On Angels. It's been a pleasure being on board with you for all of Season 2. We'll have another episode later today that you can check out as we say goodbye and head into Season 3. Now, before I continue any further, I have to send my apologies to you, the listeners, for last week. We did have an episode scheduled for Tuesday, but snow came in the Southern California region, and it came in pretty heavy to the point of knocking out power for quite a few days, most of last week for me, actually. So I wasn't able to connect to internet or charge my laptop or my phone for that sake. So everything that we had question-wise for last week got kicked out the window because of power outages. Thank you, Southern California Edison, for that, of course. And also thank you, Mother Nature, for all this wonderful snow that shut down the roads and knocked out the power. Before we continue any further, we got to remind you how you can be a part of the show. That's by following us on Twitter, at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally, at Taylor Blake Ward. Look for that tweet on Sunday nights, right around 9 o'clock Pacific time, and it'll say something along the lines of, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight. Best ones make the show on Tuesday. Now, that's going to be changing here soon. We're going to move back to Mondays as we did regular schedule once we move into Season 3 a little bit further. But if you want to be a part of the show, interact with us a little bit, make sure you follow us on Twitter. Also, you can download, subscribe, and rate today's show or any of the episodes on the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcasting platform you're using right now to listen to today's show. Let's get to your questions, though, and we're going to call this the Who Says No segment of the podcast, and you'll understand after a few questions here. I do want to start with this question from L. Michelle Scott, at L underscore Michelle underscore Scott, because this is her first question, and I missed it last week, but it did wrap up the majority of the questions from last week. It says, what pitchers are still available out there that can help the Angels, starting and bullpen? Also, any progress on getting a catcher? First ever question here, been listening, just never got a chance to ask a question. So, L. Michelle Scott, I'm happy you asked the question. I'm happy we can bring it to the show. I apologize I wasn't able to respond, but due to the snow, we did that. So, what pitchers are still available out there? We look at the trade market. Free agent market is kind of down to Alex Wood, and that's about it. Actually, as I'm doing this, I just got a notification that Rich Hill and Homer Bailey signed with the Minnesota Twins. So, that literally leaves Alex Wood as kind of the only viable free agent option. You are going to be looking at trades. You're going to look at guys like Matt Boyd, Robbie Ray, John Gray. Those are kind of the primaries there. When it comes to the bullpen, there is help on the free agent market, but it's also limited. We've talked about how the Angels haven't really given out big contracts to free agent relievers. Their biggest one was Cody Allen last year during the Billy Epler tenure. It was a one-year, $8 million deal. So I don't expect them to really spend a whole lot on relievers. Maybe you add a reliever in a trade in some sense, but I think the Angels are – we're going to talk about the bullpen a little bit later. There is some need for help in the bullpen, but I think it's going to be on minor league contracts and minimal moves, maybe some waiver claims. Adding on any progress on getting a catcher, the Angels have had conversations with multiple catchers. Some have signed elsewhere. Some are still on the free agent market, and they are also involved in trade talks with a few teams about catchers. So they do plan on adding a catcher before the season begins. Whether that be a free agent like Jason Castro or Russell Martin or in a trade is to be seen, but the Angels are expected to do a little bit more this offseason. It seems they're still in line to get a frontline starter, if that's a possibility. If not a frontline starter, at least add another arm, and they also will be adding a catcher, it seems. Next question comes from Cody Keene at HaloFanForLife94. Says, Angels get Snell and Glasnow for Adell, Theis, Sandoval, DeVoe, and Heaney. Who says no? Now, my original answer to Cody was that's too many players to kind of be moving to make sense of a deal. But as I kind of looked at this, I said, you know, the value starts to match up a little bit. it makes a little bit of sense. But I don't see the Rays getting rid of their top two arms in that rotation. I know they have Charlie Morton, but you have to remember he's in his mid-30s there. And, yeah, you have guys coming up the pipeline, and you're going to be adding – you know, in this trade scenario, you would add Andrew Heaney, who is, you know, mid-rotation for them. You add Joe Adell, who obviously, you know, we've talked about Joe plenty on this show. But I don't think – I think the Rays would say no in this. I think that even though there is value coming back in this, I don't think that this really matches up for the Rays here. So, next one from Edward Hogan Bergner at Trey Berg says, who says no? Angels get Betts and Price, and Red Sox get Upton, Sandoval, and Marsh. I think the Red Sox hang up. I really do. The Red Sox want to move that contract to David Price. I don't think they want to add on a contract along with it. Now, the money would be better when it comes to the Red Sox. They would be still getting rid of some money, especially with Mookie Betts and David Price. But the value is nowhere near this. Justin Upton's a great ball player. Brandon Marsh, obviously, we've talked about him, great ball player. Patrick Sandoval has rotation potential. But for Mookie Betts alone, see, adding David Price to this does make a little sense, and maybe you can get a, you know, the return will be a lesser prospect return, but you move that contract and you get some prospects back. I think that anything when it comes to Mookie Betts, even if you involve David Price, is going to start with Joe Adell. And I don't think that the Angels would do that. So who says no? Red Sox say no here, in my opinion. Got one here from Carlos at AngelsFan04. Says, not a popular question, but would an Adell for Clevinger trade make sense? Who would say no, Angels or Indians? This is a good question because now you're making some sense of value for value. Now, Mike Clevinger is a very good pitcher that has another 3, 4, 5 years of contract control and is going to be hitting his prime during that time. So, you know, cost control as well as talent-wise, Mike Clevinger is going to be a pretty premier ticket on the trade market, and it's going to cost a top prospect like a Joe Adell. However, the Angels may look at this and say, you know, he's arbitration eligible now. He's 29 years old heading into the season. That means that he'll be 33, 34 by the time he's done. He's been good. I mean, there's no denying he's been really good here. But Joe Adell, the Angels view Joe Adell as a future. And they don't, you know, no one's going to be Mike Trout, but if Joe Adell can be a superstar talent, you know, be a multi-time all-star, be a five-win player year in, year out, that's a guy that you're just not parting with. So I don't think the Angels would do this. Now, it may seem surprising, but I don't think that the Angels are planning on trading Joe Adell for anyone, essentially. I mean, it would take a really mind-blowing deal to really get rid of Joe Adell. And I don't think that Mike Clevinger is that guy, even though I think the world of Mike Clevinger. When he was a minor leaguer with the Angels, whenever he would – I'm telling you right now, I would go watch him pitch, and I probably saw him pitch 5, 6 times the 1 year he was down here. And during that time, I would go out to dinner after. I saw him every time after. So I got to know Mike Clevinger fairly well through his time with the Angels, coincidentally. But great guy, great pitcher. Wish him the best. And get out of Cleveland there, man. Next question comes from Dan the Man Sometimes at Danny Welt. Dan, you're the man all the time. Says, Nick Castellanos was a 2-win player in 1/3 of a season under Joe Maddon. In a better lineup, he thrives. Part one, Angels offered Nick Castellanos a 1-year, $20 million contract, Stan Paddock catcher. Part two is trade Simmons and Goodwin for Trevor Bauer while Castellanos hits fifth. Your thoughts? So looking at this from the perspective you're giving me here is you're making a move in right field where you can keep Joe Adell down for a development year and make some room for Nick Castellanos, a pretty heavy bat, or a very good bat. The 1 year, $20 million, making a move to make that happen, I'm not totally opposed there. I think that would be smart. I really like Nick Castellanos' offensive abilities. But trading Andrelton Simmons, that means you're putting your trust in David Fletcher or Luis Ranjifo at shortstop next year. But there's nothing wrong with that. But moving Andrelton Simmons, that I think that Andrelton Simmons is going to be more valuable than Nick Castellanos. And I don't think the Reds are getting rid of Trevor Bauer. I think the Reds are pretty pat with their rotation right now. I think they're actually competing. So if you were going to trade Simmons and Goodwin for someone, it would have to be someone that wants to take that on. Someone maybe like, I don't know who would take that on. I The second part of your question really challenges me. If you were going to trade Brian Goodwin and bring in a pitcher, you know, obviously the return is not going to be fantastic because you're not adding Andrelton Simmons. And Brian Goodwin's a great ball player, but, you know, his value is not going to really bring you something big in return. So, in theory, I like it, but the second part of that with trading Simmons and Goodwin for Bauer, it's not something I see moving on with when it comes to this. Kind of a pair of Marcus Stroman questions. First one from Dalton Eberhard at Dalton_Eberhard says, what would a realistic trade for Marcus Stroman look like? Could the Angels acquire him without having to give up Marsh or Adams? Also from Josh Perez at jperez_714. Says, do you see Marcus Stroman as a good fit for the Halos next season? Great guy, and at one point a bona fide ace, but do his contract and abilities fit in Anaheim? So starting with Josh's question, yes, absolutely. Great guy. I don't know about the bona fide ace part, but a very good pitcher nonetheless. His contract is arbitration. It's going to be arbitration, so you're looking at a pretty decent fair rate there. His abilities, do they fit in Anaheim? Absolutely. I mean, he would be one of the better pitchers on the staff. So, yeah, he's a great fit for Anaheim. I mean, that clubhouse environment, the talent, it all makes sense. But as for Dalton's question about what a realistic trade would be and could the Angels acquire him without giving up Brandon Marsh or Jordan Adams, I don't think they can. Now, Marcus Stroman is projected to be a 3-win pitcher next season, be essentially what he was last year. The only problem is the Mets were getting, you know, a year and a half of Marcus Stroman, not just one season. So acquiring Marcus Stroman right now as a rental, you're talking about what 3 wins at the cost of his arbitration is going to be. So his arbitration cost is going to be lower than, you know, you're talking about 3-ish wins, right? And when you're looking at the figures between WAR, wins, and how much they cost, it's about $8 to $9 million a year or per win. So you're talking that he's worth about $30 million open market, roughly. And out beyond that, you're talking about, you know, his arbitration cost is going to be nowhere near that. So you're taking a little bit of a difference here because his arbitration cost, he might get like an $8, $9 million contract, something along those lines. You know, I'm not great with arbitration figures. That's something I'm very flawed in. But could they trade without giving up Brandon Marsh or Jordan Adams? I don't think so. I really don't. I think that, for a pitcher of this caliber, whether it be Marcus Stroman, John Gray, Robbie Ray, anything like this, I think that you're going to have to start the conversation with Brandon Marsh. And that's assuming that the Mets aren't going to say, we want Joe Adell for Marcus Stroman, which the Angels aren't going to budge on. That's not going to happen. But, I think that this kind of starts with Brandon Marsh. Maybe you can get away with starting with Jordan Adams, depending on how the Mets view these guys. Now, this is all based on how the Mets view these guys. I'm just talking about the caliber of talent that is going to be the return, because the Mets have differing opinions on all kinds of players. But I think that if it's going to be Jordan Adams as opposed to Brandon Marsh, I think that you're going to be adding excess. I think you're going to be taking two top 10 prospects at that point. And even with Brandon Marsh, I think that you're still looking at something along those lines. You look at what the Mets gave up for Marcus Stroman. Now, that was odd. I think that the Mets heavily underpaid for Marcus Stroman. I really didn't like what the Blue Jays got in return. I like the talent that matched. I like the two guys that went to Toronto, but I don't think that they match Marcus Stroman's talent. So I think it's going to be something more. So if you look back, you know, and you look at Justin Dunn, Simeon Woods Richardson, and you look at those two guys and you're like, yeah, I like these guys, you know, they're really good. Well, that's what Marcus Stroman got in return, and it seems like that was underpaying for Marcus Stroman. So assume that, you know, that's, $245 million, because basically Dunn is a, you know, mid-rotation upside guy who's likely to be a reliever. Simeon Woods Richardson is a project guy who is kind of very similar, so that's $245 million grade prospects. You know, a 50 can wash that out, but it's, yeah, I think it's going to take a 50 grade prospect, and the Angels only have 2-3 of those. Next question comes in from Brad Senecal at Downtown Senny 51. Says, is John Gray a realistic trade candidate, and would taking on a guy like Wade Davis and or Brian Shaw help make this move happen? Yeah, John Gray is definitely a trade candidate. But the problem here is that he is the top trade candidate. You look at who is available in trades right now. You could maybe say Marcus Stroman is there, But John Gray is at the top of the list when it comes to available pitchers right now, and the Rockies are very well aware of that. So they're not going to sit there and say, yeah, we're going to take a lesser return because we're going to move Wade Davis and Brian Shaw. They know that when it comes to value, John Gray is going to get the best return on the trade market right now. It's a seller's market in a sense. So I don't think that adding those guys on is going to make it, but I do think that John Gray is going to be a guy that is likely not to be on the Rockies on opening day. Just my opinion there, whether that be with the Angels or another team is to be seen. Next one from Jay Park at J38131644 says, I really want Boyd and Castro, please. Can't help you there, Jay. I'm not making the decisions. he says, I think Boyd for Marsh looks quite reasonable. What's your opinion about this, and how's about going free agent catching market? So John or Jay, we're going to work on your sentence structure on the second part. We talked about the free agent catching market a little bit. You know, there Jason Castro, Russell Martin, Robinson Chirinos, maybe like a third guy that you could add in there. Boyd for Marsh, though, is that reasonable? Yeah, I think it is. And I think that Brandon Marsh outweighs, when it comes to value, Brandon Marsh outweighs the value of Matt Boyd. That's my opinion. It changes team to team, of course. But Matt Boyd for 3 years, because he's got 3 years remaining on that contract or before he hits free agency, and what he's been, you know, you look at the high home run rate. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But outside of that, he's been a mid-rotation arm, and the Angels need someone like a mid-rotation arm to kind of be their front of the rotation arm. And with Matt Boyd being a little bit younger, you know, he's in his late 20s here. He's also been, you know, the ace for the Detroit Tigers for a few years here. I think that Brandon Marsh for Matt Boyd is pretty reasonable. But that's if Matt Boyd had 2 years remaining on his contract, I wouldn't buy into it one bit. So that's my, you know, the fact that he has 3 years remaining, I say a lot, you know, that's, you know, you're going to get 6-7 years out of Brandon Marsh. So I think Marsh still overvalues, but at this time where the Angels are, they need pitching. And Brandon Marsh, you know, we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but he's a little bit, you can kind of use him in trades and feel a little bit comfortable with that. One last one here, and then I need a water break. This one comes in from Justin Orman at JBOrman9. Says, two questions. Says, if the Angels acquire David Price, what does the deal look like in cost and money retained? And is Pujols likely to get benched finally? Maybe Listel and Theis can play every day at first base. So let's start with your second one. Is Pujols going to be benched finally? I think that's pending how Matt Theis hits and how Tommy LaStella plays first base. Now, you know, you could look at Tommy LaStella in the past. He's been great at getting on base. Last year, the power really showed up. If that's the way that it's going to be, then yeah, he's a capable guy that you want in your lineup every day. But if he can't play first base, he can't play first base, you know. as for Matt Theis, you've got Matt Theis, Jared Walsh. You've got those two guys that are lefties that can play first base. It all depends on how their bats translate. And if Albert Pujols is the best option to play at first base, now, I mean, this is a cop-out, but you're going to play the best guy you can at first base. At times, there is going to be a way where Albert Pujols is going to be, you know, maybe not be the best guy to play that day, and he'll be at first base. That's just kind of how that contract and ownership has come together and made a decision on how Albert Pujols is going to play. I still expect him to get 100 games this year, even if he's benched, you know, somewhat quote-unquote regularly, if you want to put it that way. But I think you're going to see Albert Pujols 100 times in 2020. If Tommy LaStella could play first base, though, absolutely, you're putting him there. I mean, Joe Madden loves Tommy LaStella, and it seems like Matt Theis. I got to say, Matt Theis, his reports out of the Dominican right now as a third baseman defensively are outstanding. Everyone's loving the swing. Everyone's loving his defense. He sounds like he's actually a guy that, man, the Angels might have found something there that maybe we thought wasn't there originally. As for the first part of your question, the David Price part, if the Angels acquire him, what does the deal look like, cost, money, etc.? So I touched on this last week or the week before. When it comes to the David Price deal, the Red Sox do want prospects back. They also do want teams to take on the entire contract. I think that basically whatever the money is that you take on from the David Price deal, you suddenly lessen the return to the Red Sox. So if you take on the whole deal, the return is going to be minimal. You take on three quarter of the deal, you're adding a prospect. You take on half of the contract, you're adding an actual real deal prospect, you know, something along those lines. So that's kind of what you're looking at here. I think the Angels are capable of taking on his entire contract, and that would likely mean that they're not going to be paying a whole lot when it comes to David Price, if that is an option. I got to get a water break, so we're going to head to a break. But before we do that, we're going to talk about Breaking Tea. Now, Breaking Tea is a t-shirt company that ties in with the passion moments of sports. These passion moments happen with every team and every fan base, and then Breaking Tea jumps on the moment to make t-shirts that make that moment live forever. When these moments happen, we'll join in with Breaking Tea to make these t-shirts available to our listeners through www.breakingtea.com/lockedon. And I've already helped them out. We got some Tony Two-Bag shirts. We got some Trout Rendon 2020 shirts. They're a fantastic company, so go check them out. www.breakingtea.com/lockedon. We'll be right back with more Locked On Angels right after a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. And as you noticed in our first segment, we're taking your questions from our Sunday night Twitter question answers. So let's keep it going here. We're going to start off with a pair of questions from Fernando Mendez at The Real FM 25 and Awatucky Taki area at Rex Coot. Rex, you're killing me, man, with that stuff. says, can you give me your Angels decade team? Who are you taking at each position? And can you please give me a quick sentence as to why he is going in that particular position? And also Rex asks, all-decade bullpen for the Angels. So let's start with the all-decade team. The reason why I'm picking these players is because of team impact. So I'm going to start with catcher. I think it's Martin Maldonado. You could argue Hank Conger, Chris Iannetta, but I'm going to go with Martin Maldonado. At first base, I'm going to go with Albert Pujols. Just the history that comes along with him. I know that there's a little bit of frustration with the $240 million contract. I don't think it's that. I think it's the 10 years of the $240 million contract. But what Albert Pujols has done to bring Fox Sports TV along with this, also bring all the history of the game with him. I chose him over Mark Trumbo. Second base is Howie Kendrick. How could I not take Howie? He was, you know, best second baseman for the Angels. Even though I did want to put Johnny Giovitella. Loved Johnny Drama. Shortstop, Andrelton Simmons. Now, this was challenging because of Eric Ibar, someone who I just loved watching play baseball. He was like a backyard baseball player, but it's Andrelton Simmons. I mean, come on. That dude's pretty remarkable. It was a pretty weak decade at third base for the Angels, so I went with David Fletcher. Could have gone with Alberto Callaspo, but I think we all know about the situation in the 2010s when it came to third base. Nothing wrong with David Fletcher. Don't mind him being at third base. Though I probably could have picked David Freese, who is one of my favorite players of all time. For the outfield, I didn't really take positions. I picked Torii Hunter for obvious reasons, Mike Trout and Cole Calhoun. Mike Trout, duh. So I'll put Mike Trout in. You know, forget it. I'll put Mike Trout in left field. I'll put Torii in center field, and I'll put Cole in right field. Cole had a great run with the Angels, especially this last decade. Torii Hunter, what he meant for the Angels club and what he meant for Mike Trout. And I got to add on with the Albert Pujols thing. I think that Mike Trout stuck around because of what has happened with Albert Pujols. So that has a lot of impact on the team. I'll go with Mike Trout. As for my starting pitcher of the decade, going Jared Weaver. How could I not, right? I mean, you got Garrett Richards an option, but I'm going Jay Weave. Got to go with Weaver. Relief pitcher. Now, I'm going to add this in with the bullpen question, the all-decade bullpen team. I chose Jose Alvarez as the Angels reliever of the decade. The picks were somewhat limited. I'm assuming you're talking about two long relievers, so I picked Yusmeiro Petit and Blake Parker as those two long relievers. Three mid-relief options. I chose Cam Bedrosian, Kevin Jepsen, and Joe My Kind of Party Smith. I'm going to have Hansel Robles as my setup guy. I really think that that's a good option. My lefty specialist, Jose Alvarez, even though I do love me some Cesar Ramos. That guy was a you want to talk about lefty specialist. Cesar Ramos was the guy. And as a closer, you know, I could have chosen Hansel Robles here, but I'm going to go with Jordan Walton. So that's my all-Angels decade team, essentially. Let's stick with the bullpen. I'm going to take this one from at Bill Epps Burner, like nice. Which Noe Ramirez can Angels fans expect in 2020? 2018 version where he had a 4.54 ERA, 4.52 FIP, and negative 0.1 WAR, or the 2019 version where he had a 3.99 ERA, 3.72 FIP, and a 0.9 WAR. So starting off here, projecting relievers, especially ones with non-elite stuff, is one of the hardest things to do in the world. And that's why spin rate and these measurements like FIP that you noted are very important. One thing about Noe Ramirez is when he came over from the Angels in 2017, they started working with him on some different things, a little more east to west stuff as opposed to north to south things. And that kind of translated into 2018 where he was working on some mechanical things, going through that. And when you look at his season, 83 innings, 4.54 ERA, struck out over 10 per 9. It's not a bad year. It's not a good year, but it's not a bad year. By the metrics, negative 0.1 WAR. I mean, you know, when you're looking at this from just a standard procedure, you look at some guy from another team that comes in, that's fine. It's not, you know, it's fine. Last year, 67.2 innings, 3.99 ERA, 0.9 WAR. That's a reasonably good season. Struck out 10.5 per 9. What I noticed most with Noe last year is he threw a lot more strikes. And when he was throwing strikes, when he was on, he was hitting the corners, east to west, low zone. And we look at his walk percentage. You know, his walk percentage suddenly dives down from 8%, 8.5%, 10%. Last year, down to 7.1%. I mean, he's down 1.4% in 1 year just on walk percentage. Throwing more strikes, I think that's a big part of his game. I'm not going to project this. It's almost impossible to project relievers. I mean, look at Blake Treinen, you know, 2 years ago, 0.78 ERA, 3.6 WAR. Last year, 4.91 ERA, negative 0.3 WAR. I mean, Blake Treinen had one of the best seasons a reliever can have. Suddenly, he's a negative win player. Projecting relievers is impossible. What I'll say is what I think about Noe Ramirez, I don't think he'll be bad. Yeah, I think he'll be average. I think he'll have, you know, a 4-ish ERA, you know, some runs here or there may change that in the positive or negative. But I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be an average reliever for the Angels next season. Which takes us to our next question from Fishy Boy at X Fishington says, is the Angels bullpen legit or will it fall off this upcoming season? Fishy Boy, relievers are so hard, man. When I look at this bullpen, I see a lot of holes. You know, Justin Anderson, I think he's a really good reliever. I think he's only going to get better. I think he's becoming a pitcher instead of a thrower, so I really like him. Keenan Middleton is coming back. I really think the world of Keenan Middleton. Hanzo Robles has shown some great stuff. Ty Buttrey was one of the best relievers in baseball last year up until about August or so. I think when it comes to this stuff, you're looking at the signings of Julio Teheran and the trade of Dylan Bundy. Now you're adding some innings, so your bullpen's not going to be as taxed. And I think that was the biggest problem for the Angels' bullpen last year, especially for Ty Buttrey, who was just overused by Brad Ausmus. I hated that. I noted that a lot. I couldn't stand the way that Brad Ausmus used Ty Buttrey last year. I do like Brad Ausmus as a person. Just didn't like the way he controlled his relievers. But that was in the past, and now you have Joe Maddon and Mickey Callaway making these decisions. And, you know, maybe that's going to be what changes with this bullpen here. Maybe it's going to be the innings from Teheran and Bundy. Maybe, you know, guys just pick up where they left off. Maybe Luke Bard comes out as the ace in the hole. Maybe someone like an Adrian DeHorta or a Jeremy Beasley comes up out of nowhere and is, you know, something special. When it comes to the bullpen, there's a lot of questions. But that's every bullpen in baseball. There aren't a lot of teams that just have this stacked bullpen. You could look at the Yankees who do, you know, whatever. They're the Yankees. But outside of that, you know, even the Dodgers, you look at just across town, the Dodgers bullpen has been a question mark, and they've gone to three or two of the last three World Series. I think, you know, there's all kinds of question marks. It's challenging. But with this bullpen, I see a lot of things I like, and I see a lot of things I don't like. So I don't know if I can answer that honestly outside of, you know, are they legit? They could be. Will they fall apart? Maybe. I don't know. I know that's like the worst answer you could hear, but I just don't know. I like certain things. I noted that, but I do worry about the depth of it. Speaking of Joe Maddon and Mickey Callaway, I've got this question here from James Dixon at JDick67 says, how is the on-field strategy changes in the lineup, bench players, rotation, and usage of the bullpen going to be different with this new coaching staff? We won't know until the season starts. One thing about Joe Maddon is he has this do-nothing approach where, you know, players get ready when they need to get ready. He trusts that the players know what they need to do when they get ready. So you're going to see less batting practice, essentially. As for lineups, you know, Joe Maddon has kind of shown that lineup structure isn't something he puts too much into. You know, I think he's fine with having a guy with a high on-base percentage at the front. I think he's fine with having your best hitter at three and, you know, RBI opportunity guys at 4 or 5. But I don't think anything lineup, I don't think it's going to be anything crazy. One thing is he does have a lot of trust in his relievers. So you're going to see guys go out and maybe, you know, you're going to see a guy that suddenly says, I've got four outs in me. And you see a lot of four out, you know, you see a pitcher go out and get four outs. You see a starter that's at 100 pitches. He says, give me one more. You know, give me one more. And Joe Maddon says, you know, okay. So you're going to see some little things like that. I think also you're going to see the front office kind of do what they're doing. You know, they're going to use the numbers, share that with Joe. Joe's going to make some decisions in-game, but at the same time, a lot of that comes from the front office. So some things are going to change. Some things are not. You know, I do want to see Joe Maddon use the 8675309. Lineup, the Tommy Two Tone song, because actually I had a friend whose phone number actually was that number. It's a Running Springs, California, is 867 to start it off. So I want to see him use that. Outside of that, let's wait for the season, see what happens. Starting to run a little low on time, so let's take some prospect questions. This one from @Colin_Massey says, what's Jamai Jones' future and will it be with the Angels? So Jamai Jones did have a down year, there's no denying that, but if you look at the last few months of the season with Jamai, he really turned the corner, and that was with this new swing. Now, he's been through 4 or 5 swing changes the last 2 years, and what he's got right now really looks good, looks comfortable with it, a little bit more athleticism back, and he's also got the power to go with it. He looks great. I'm not saying he's a superstar by any means, but everyday second baseman of the future for the Angels. You get some versatility out of him because he can play the outfield. I do believe it will be with the Angels. I think the Angels really do like Jamai Jones. And sometimes with down years, people look at the numbers, get a little down on players. I think that some people did sour on Jamai Jones, but I think that people that saw him multiple times through the year did understand what was going on and do still see that Jamai Jones is one of the Angels' top prospects and someone to kind of garner some attention for. We use the term prospects a little loosely because, you know, you see a minor leaguer, sometimes you use the term prospects. This guy is a legitimate prospect. He is someone that the Angels can look to the future for and say, yes, he is a part of our future plans. Let's go to this one, and this one I think has been asked a few times, but this I like the way it's asked. This is from Patrick Chesney, @PVChesney, says, does Brandon Marsh have any viable path to the majors within our system? The outfield is blocked for another 3 years. Assuming Adell plays to form, does this make other teams feel like they have leverage? So, yeah, Brandon Marsh, you're not going to deny talent, and having too many good things is not a bad thing. Having too many good outfielders, you know, you have Justin Upton, who hopefully rebounds. You have Joe Adell, Brian Goodwin, Mike Trout, and Brandon Marsh is right there behind him. Suddenly, you know, you have this 4-man outfield, 5-man outfield. You had Michael Hermosillo, who could rebound and be really good there. You know, you have this 5-man outfield. You give yourself options. You give yourself platoon options, and you have all this data that allows you to use these platoons properly. Brandon Marsh, they're not going to limit him because of Justin Upton or Mike Trout or Joe Adell. You know, obviously Mike Trout is superior to everyone, but Justin Upton is not going to keep Brandon Marsh down. Joe Adell is not going to keep Brandon Marsh down. If he is the most talented man for the position, that's who's going to be playing at whatever position in the outfield for the Angels. Now, you have some flexibility with him because you do have this mass amount of outfielders, so it does give you the luxury of possibly trading someone like Brandon Marsh. And if that's the case, then yes, teams understand that. But this isn't something that's going to be forced. So as for leverage, teams may think that, but the Angels don't necessarily think that the other teams have leverage because they're not saying that we have to part with Brandon Marsh here. when it comes to Brandon Marsh, you were talking about a guy that's really turning the corner. He's starting to swing with more intent, has tapped into that power that has always been plus raw power. Now it's average game power. This is a guy that is really going to be special for you. And if you can maneuver him around, give him 100 games, and I'm talking about 2021 here. You know, I don't think he's going to be up this year necessarily. But 2021, you know, I think that that's a real option to kind of have him moving around. And you have him for 6 years. So if you're going to trade Brandon Marsh, I don't think you're surrendering him for just a small package. And like I said, Matt Boyd, earlier when it came to Matt Boyd, the fact that he has 3 years remaining on his contract, that's the only reason I see Brandon Marsh as a viable option with moving on when it comes to this. Moving on here, Chris Chapman, ChapDaddy76 says, have they figured out what has kept Chris Rodriguez off the field the last 2 years? I know it's a bad back, but what is the cause of it and how to prevent it in the future? So, yeah, Chris Rodriguez, in my opinion, is the Angels' best pitching prospect. And I like Jose Soriano a lot, but I don't think it's very close. I think Chris Rodriguez is a very special pitching prospect. And what has happened is he's had some issues with his back. He's had quite a few back injuries that have kept him to a very limited pro career. And I'm actually going to type up how much he's actually pitched in his professional career. He only had two games last year, and I got to see it. Three games last year, I got to see him. He was amazing. 77 innings professionally. And that's a real problem to have when it comes to one of your top pitching prospects. Have they figured it out? He had surgery in the early part of 2019. I want to say May. You know, it could be either or. But he did have back surgery. It seems like that is going to be fixing the solution. That's the plan, obviously, is hoping that that is the solution to this back injury. But, you know, when it comes to the medical world, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I do know about this. When it comes to the medical world, back injuries are still a very large question mark for the medical industry. So who knows? Hopefully it's fixed, and hopefully Chris Rodriguez can become the special pitcher that I really think he is. One more prospect question here. This one from Matt Briggs at MB Angels Fan says, who is an underrated prospect in our farm system? We hear about Jones, Marsh, and Adele, but who is someone that we should keep an eye on? You know, Matthew, I got to say, first things first, head to the ballpark. Head to the minor league ballparks and check it out for yourself. But I can tell you right now, check out Jordan Adams, and I think he'll be with Inland Empire 66ers. That guy has top 100 prospect potential. He's the real deal. You also might be able to see Hector Yan, Jose Soriano there with the Inland Empire 66ers. A guy that I'm really watching right now is Kelvin Caceres, Stewart Aquino. These are very high-velocity arms. Cedric Franco, who are currently in the low minors, but hopefully we can see them hit single A this year, and I think that'll be fun to watch. Next question here comes from Andrew underscore Ewing 44 says, whatever happened to Parker Bridwell or Alex Meyer? Are they still in the Angels system? Sadly, no. Parker Bridwell is a free agent currently, had to deal with some things late in the season in AAA. And Alex Meyer, sadly, the shoulder injury that he had did end his pitching career. He retired, I think, mid-summer. And, you know, hats off to both of those guys. Really do like those guys and wishing them the best, whether for Parker to be a major leaguer here in the very near future and also for Alex beyond baseball. Speaking of beyond baseball, this question comes in from Austin V. Vandermay 27 says, if Pujols struggles this year, what are the odds he retires and leaves $30 million on the table? Austin, I wouldn't leave $3 on the table, bro. you know, Albert's got tons of money. There's no denying that. But I don't think it's selfish that he's going to want that extra $30 million. I'm not turning down $30 million. I'm not turning down $3. And I hope you don't think I'm selfish for that. You know what? Yeah, obviously Albert is not Albert of old. And Albert may not even be a positive win player anymore. He may be a liability. But, you know, this guy signed a contract for $240 million, 10 years. And I, you know, to me, you honor your contract. And if the Angels want to buy him out and still, you know, have that $30 million, good on Albert for having a career that allowed him the luxury of doing that. Having a career that allowed him the success to turn into a $240 million player, even though it may be costly to the Angels. And I don't think he's going to retire. If he's released, the Angels pay out the rest of his contract, and he's released, and maybe at that time he will. But no, I don't see Albert retiring this season. Let's move on to this question from Super Marcio at Marcio Prado 1202 says, can you please explain why so many are high on Matt Boyd? Aside from the high K per nine rate, his numbers are pretty mediocre. Yeah, when you look at the standard numbers, you know, for the last 3 years, he's had an ERA. His best ERA has been 4.39. He even was up with an ERA over 5. But the strikeouts are there. The thing about Matt Boyd, he throws innings, he throws strikes, he strikes out a lot of guys, especially last year. When you look at him over the last 3 years, he's been a top 20 pitcher in the American League. Last year, he was essentially a top 10 pitcher in the American League. Projections have him as a top 15 pitcher in the American League in 2020. He's got 3 years of control left. We've touched on that a ton of times. He's just about to hit his prime seasons. He's 28 years old. Those are the positives. Yeah, you look at the numbers and the standard numbers, he's not great. But I don't think you're looking at – when you say people are high on him, are you talking about people high on him as an ace or high on him as one of the top 20 pitchers in the American League? Because I think he is one of the top 20 pitchers in the American League, and it's not easy to attain that. The Angels haven't had that in a very long time. So Matt Boyd essentially would be one of the best pitchers the Angels have had in, you know, what would have been the last decade, but now we're moving on to a new decade, apparently. So, yeah, I mean, am I thinking that Matt Boyd is an ace? No, but he is a top 15, top 20 pitcher in the American leagues, and that's pretty hard to attain. So I think that's why people are a little bit higher on him. Two more here. I'm really running out of time, but I do want to take these. This one from Manny Chavez at Dino Manny says, is David Fletcher actually on the trade market, or do these MLB Network insiders not know what they're talking about? I've heard a lot of speculation that he might get moved. So when it comes to the Angels, no one is on the trade market. No one's on the trade block when it comes to the Angels. They aren't going out and saying, yeah, we have this player available. They're buying. They're not selling. So when it comes to the Angels, you know, maybe I've heard David Fletcher's name come up from other teams. I've talked to other teams about this, and David Fletcher's name has come up. That doesn't mean that the Angels are using David Fletcher as a trade chip. That just means that other teams might be interested in David Fletcher, and that might be where this trade conversation is coming from. It could also be that the Angels are using him as a trade chip. But at the same time, is he on the trade market? Is he on the trade block? No. But do the MLB Network insiders know what I know? Yeah, David Fletcher's been in conversation. So is it speculation that he might get moved? No, not necessarily. It's more that his name has been brought up, and sometimes you have to create news without news. And, you know, when there's no news, you fake the news, and that's when you get fake news. Yay! Yeah, you've heard that one from me. Yeah, David Fletcher is not on the trade block, but there is a possibility that he is traded because he is a trade chip. So take that for what it's worth. I hope that answered your question. But thank you, Manny. And this last one here from Hordez at Evo Hordez says, do you think that Mike Trout is going to go down as the best player of this decade? Evo, let me ask you this. Is water wet? Is the sky blue or trees green? The answer is yes. Mike Trout is the best player of the 2010s. And it is not close. And that's not opinion-based. That is factual. You can back it up with evidence in all kinds of different ways. That's all we have for today's show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for asking questions, not only today, but all season long. We will be back next week with another Sunday Night Twitter question and answer. So if you want to be a part of the show and interact with us, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. I'll send out that tweet about 9 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday night saying, hey, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight. Best ones make the show on Tuesday. We do have a show scheduled for Tuesday. No snow in the future, it seems, here in Southern California. So let's hope for good weather and a show on Tuesday next week. Also, make sure to download, subscribe, and rate today's show or any of the episodes through Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcasting platform you use to listen to today's show. Reminded that today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Once again, for the final time in 2019, thanks for tuning in for Locked On Angels. I'm Taylor Blake Ward saying stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you in 2020.